Hey everyone, it's Mario, host of the Gen X Photography Podcast. This is just a little addendum to the last episode, episode 63, Odds and Ends. I tried to discuss a few things, and I was listening to the episode after I already put it out there and realized that I did not explain things very well, or certain things very well. One is about compression and 135 millimeter lenses. And I got to thinking, I don't really know what compression is. So I looked it up, and there's a lot of math and a lot of that I don't really understand. I'm going to have to do some more research on it. So just know that when I said that it's kind of like bokeh, it's not really bokeh, but it can produce a shallow depth of field. Using a longer focal length lens, like a 135 millimeter lens, you can achieve shallow depth of field even at closed down apertures, depending on how close you are to the subject and how close you are to the background. The relationship between you, the subject, and the background. There's a little bit of math that goes into it, and so it takes a little bit to decipher it all. So anyways, compression is a cool part of 135 millimeter lenses, or telephoto lenses in general, but it is not bokeh. It can produce bokeh effects, but it's not the same. It's a different effect altogether, but nonetheless, pretty cool effect. And there are, if you want to find out about compression, there are lots of good articles on the interwebs to check out. So I urge you to check those out. The other thing I wanted to kind of clarify, or I guess explain a little bit more, is a lens that I was talking about. It's the one that I have for my Nikon EL2, the 135 millimeter f/2.8. Rokinon automatic MC lens. And I just kind of went into talking about it without really describing what the lens actually is. So I'm going to describe a little bit about this lens, because it is kind of a peculiar lens. It's not just a standard 135 millimeter lens. It does have macro capability, but in a kind of an interesting way. If you look at it, it looks like a standard 135 millimeter lens. It has a nice length to it, has a kind of a diamond plate rubber grip to it. It feels nice in the hand. The focusing on this particular lens that I have is nice and smooth, nicely dampened, and all that. But it has a focusing ring, the main focusing ring, where you can focus your lens, but it only focuses down to 8 feet. Now, most of my 135 millimeter lenses focus closer than that. You can focus as close as like 5 feet, even 4.5 feet for some of them. So you can focus fairly close, but this one only focuses at 5 feet if you use the standard, the main focusing ring on the lens. But it does have a magic, a little magic trick up its sleeve, in that it has a secondary focusing ring in front of the main focusing ring, toward the front edge or front of the lens. And that is the macro focusing ring that helps you to focus at a much closer closer distance to your subject. So it starts at, well, I'm not sure at what magnification it starts, but the first numbered one is 1 to 10, and it goes all the way to 1 to 3. So it is pretty close to true macro, which is 1 to 1. It's pretty good in that way. But the thing about this lens that I discovered, I read about it, and I decided to pull the plug anyways and buy it because it was cheap. And then I noticed something about it. The thing that I discovered about this lens is that if you focus all the way with the main focusing ring all the way in as close as you can, which is 8 feet, and then use that macro focusing ring. If you're at any aperture under f8, so f5.6, f4, or f2.8, the image coming through the lens, through the viewfinder, is going to be really, like, dreamy. It's hard to explain, except for it doesn't really look good to me. It looks like one of those, I hate to say this because the 80s are kind of like my decade a little bit. I was a kid in the 80s, but you know, those dreamy pictures of the 1980s, it kind of looks like that. And, you know, that effect can be nice in certain doses, but you don't want all your photos to be like that. So if you use this macro adjusting ring on the lens, or macro focusing lens ring on the lens, you know, you're going to have to deal with that, you know, that dreamy look, even if you don't want it. But that's where I noticed the coloration of the paint. So on the aperture ring, f2.8, f4, and f5.6 are painted in white. And then f8, f11, f16, and f22 are painted in yellow. And at first I was like, what? Why are they painted differently? And then I noticed on the macro focusing ring that everything is painted yellow. The word macro, the 1 to 10, 1 to 6, 1 to 4, and 1 to 3 are all painted yellow. So I thought, I wonder if there's a link between F8 to F22, all painted in yellow, and this macro focusing ring. And so what I did was just trying out the lens, I focused it all the way in as far as I could at at 8 feet, at 8 feet, and then brought my aperture all the way to f8, and then started using the macro focusing ring to focus in on something much closer, and then I pressed my depth of field preview, and it all of a sudden became much better looking. It didn't have that washed out dreamy look. It actually looked good. Like, you could see out of focus background and in focus foreground, but it didn't look washed out. It looked proper. It looked like a good, you know, separation between the subject and the background, but in a nice, nice way. So it seems like from F8 on to F22, that's when you can use your depth of field preview button and see that the lens really needs to be at F8, at least F8, if you want to use the macro focusing ring. If you use F5.6, F4, or F2.8, you just get that washed out dreamy look, which you may want, but I don't necessarily want that for all my macro photography. So it is a neat lens. It has macro focusing, or almost pure macro focusing ability, but with the limitation that you have to be at least F8, if not more closed down than that. And if you follow the sort of the clues given on the lens, which is from F8 to F22 is painted in yellow, and on the macro focusing ring, everything is in yellow, so there seems to be a correlation. So anyways, that's what I was trying to explain. But I explained the latter part of that without actually explaining what this lens is. Again, it's a really nice third-party lens with a standard focusing ring, only focusing as close as 8 feet, but having this macro focusing capability with a secondary ring, but that with the caveat that you have to be at F8 or more closed down to fully use the macro focusing ring, which incidentally kind of relates to the compression aspect. in that with a you know, long, you know, telephoto lens, I should say, even if you have your lens all the way closed down, with a telephoto lens, if you are relatively close to the subject, your background will still be out of focus, even at f11, f16, f22, and I checked this, it'll still be out of focus, more out of focus as you open up the lens, but even closed all the way down, your background will still be out of focus, and that's kind of a property, it seems like, I may be misspeaking, but it seems to be kind of a property of telephoto lenses. So anyways, that's, I guess, another reason why I like 135mm lenses is it does have this, you know, this nice way of separating the foreground and the background, even closed down. And I like I said, I prefer f8. That I've heard that f8 is kind of like the sharpest point in the lens. F5.6 and f11 are kind of either side of that. I try to stick to f8 and then below that, because, you know, you get your lens's capability to open up for lower light, you know, lower light conditions or situations, which we do deal with quite a bit of that here in Vermont, especially for a good half of the year. So I do have to rely on apertures below f8, f5.6, f4, f2.8. But I'm not opposed to f11, f16, or f22. I just don't happen to use those as much. That's another thing that I misspoke on the proper episode 63 when I said I don't like f11, f16, and f22. It's not that I don't like them. I just don't happen to use them because, you know, they're just not as usable in a more cloudy area like we have here in Vermont. And again, I believe f8, for most lenses, f8 is about the sharpest aperture you can have on your lens. That being said, for the Eclipse, I did say that I was going to be at f11, and that's because the lens, the 400mm lens that I'm going to be using for the Eclipse, starts at f5.6. So f11 is actually like closer to the middle aperture. F8 is a bit more opened up. It's more like f4, the f4 of that lens. So anyways, just a little explanation as to my, you know, why I said that about f11 and more, and also about compression and understanding that I really don't understand a whole lot about it. So I may have sounded like, it's just like bokeh, and it's not like bokeh. I couldn't come to grasp with what compression actually is, which made me want to look it up, and it's quite involved. And then explaining a little bit more about this lens, which is, it's a neat lens, one that I hope to use much more often. All right. Well, that's enough of that. Get your cameras CLA'd. There's, you know, find local places or look online. Get those cameras serviced, and they'll serve you well for many years. I'm eagerly waiting for my Spotmatic 2, my black and brassy one. I know I said that in the proper episode, but I'm really looking forward to using it without my phone light meter. I don't like using my phone for a light meter. It just adds an extra step. So I'm really looking forward to using my included light meter, inbound, I don't know what the right word is, the light meter that's native to the camera. I'm looking forward to using that. All right, I have rambled on enough, so we'll talk to you all later. And again, send your favorite albums or songs of the 1990s, January 1st, 1990 to December 31st, 1999. Send those in to genxphotogpod@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to play those voice memos. And again, the deadline is June 1st, So send them in. You got about a couple of months to send them in. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys, what kind of music you liked in the 90s and that stayed with you throughout these past couple of decades. It'll be kind of a fascinating view into what we like. All right. Talk to y'all later. Bye. And keep those analog vibes alive.